President Bush urged Americans today to continue contributing to tsunami relief operations in South Asia. The president has signed legislation allowing people who make donations this month to claim deductions on their 2004 tax returns. The death toll is still rising. It's now estimated that more than 150,000 people have died. While the tsunami's devastating impact on land is becoming more evident, scientists are only beginning to glimpse how the disaster played out under the sea. NPR's David Malakoff reports on how coral reefs and the marine environment weathered the wave.
In the last few days, marine biologists have been able to make their first serious forays into coastal waters roiled by the tsunami, and their early reports are decidedly mixed. Kenya's reefs appear to be in pretty good shape, and divers in Thailand have found less damage than some feared. But other reefs are clearly hurting. Ian Dutton of the Nature Conservancy says such fast-moving waves pluck boulders off the seafloor and turn them into battering rams.
In many areas, it looks as if someone's driven a bulldozer across a coral reef. So you have what were very large, strong, stable coral systems that have been often smashed to rubble, very small fragments.
And when the wave rolled back out to sea, it carried with it tons of dirt, chemicals and debris that polluted coastal waters and buried reefs under blankets of silt. The waters are clearing now, allowing scientists to get a better picture of the situation. Some are organizing strike teams that will hopscotch around the Indian Ocean, visiting reefs and quickly taking their vital signs. They will count fish and estimate how much live coral covers randomly selected patches of reef. But no survey will be comprehensive, cautions David Obura, a coral researcher with Cordio in Mombasa, Kenya.
It's impossible to look at everything underwater. I mean, on land, you can fly a plane over or you can hop down on the ground and see most of the areas that are affected. But underwater, we're very limited.
Still, one pattern is becoming increasingly clear. Jerker Tamalander, a Finnish biologist working with the World Conservation Union in Sri Lanka, says that there was far less damage where intact reefs and mangrove forests broke the force of the wave.
So a healthy mangrove, a healthy reef, are better placed to dissipate the energy of this tsunami without sustaining significant damage. That is, they will protect the coastline better, they will protect people better, and they will recover faster from the damage they sustain.
Now, scientists are wondering if that protective power will be around for the next tsunami. The Nature Conservancy's Ian Dutton, for one, worries that the disaster could push ecosystems already weakened by decades of abuse over the edge.
Most of the coral reefs, most of the mangroves in this part of the world have been greatly affected by development in the last 20, 30 years. And unfortunately, you're seeing now a lot of those systems are really on a knife's edge, if you like. They're really at a point where it's very hard for them to recover naturally.
It will take decades to understand the tsunami's ecological legacy, but the current research isn't just an academic exercise. Reefs provide key habitat for fish and other animals that provide food and money for people living along the coast.
They're not just luxuries for rich people to enjoy. A lot of poor people really depend on these.
David Obura says that's why the effort to find out how the reefs are doing is key to making wise recovery plans.
If we don't quantify what's happened and have an idea of the amount of damage and the potential recovery, it's very hard for countries to plan any responses. Should they invest more in rebuilding fishing fleets? Should they rebuild hotels, rebuild dive industries? If you don't have resources for people to use, it may not be wise to do that right away.
The United Nations agrees. This week, it said it will spend $1 million on related research aimed at encouraging environmentally friendly development in tsunami-prone areas. David Malakoff, NPR News.